Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. It's great to be here today. We've got a great show, as always. It's actually been a couple weeks since I've been here. We've had some excellent encore presentations. The Miss Haskell's fourth grade class letters 1 week. And
that was a classic.
Stanley Coren, author of one of his many books, The Modern Dog. So we are here live today, and we've got a couple guests with us. We have Tim Percival back with us, and we had Tim in several months ago talking about pet first aid and disaster preparedness. And we also have Ruth Nielsen, who's a draft judge and trainer. And if you don't know what draft means, you'll find out today. And we'll be talking about drafting and carting as a sport for dogs. And kind of talking about a breed group that we haven't really talked too much about on the show yet, which is the working group, which is the, you know, Bernese Mountain Dog, the Greater Swiss Mountain Dog, the Great Pyrenees, the Newfoundland, the St. Bernard, those guys. So I'm looking forward to the show. I just have a few announcements before we get started. November 5th is the first National Animal Hospice Awareness Day. And a few months ago, we had on Michelle Nichols, who's the founder of A-Help, Animal Hospice End of Life and Palliative Care Project. And it's November 5th is the first National Animal Hospice Awareness Day. So that's cool. They have A-Help has a animal caregiver support circle November 9th. And then November 10th, they are hosting Kimothy Schultz for a presentation about nutrition in aging and ill animals. And it's looking like next week's show will actually have Kimothy on. And she's local, relatively quite local, and an expert in animal nutrition, animal and human nutrition. So one of my favorite topics for sure. So hopefully we'll have Kimothy on the show next week. But her talk is on November 10th, and that's through A-Help. So you can find them at ahelpproject.org. AHELP project.org. Great organization. The Dog Talk Show is changing its name, and I've announced this a few times. And just to let you know again, we will be the Dog Show, and I just need to get used to saying that now. Slight adjustment.
And you got to print up a whole bunch of new stickers.
New stickers, yeah. Yep. So the Dog Show with Julie Forbes, and we have some wonderful sponsors that we appreciate very much. All the best pet care, all the best food, treats, and toys for your dog and cat. You can check them out online at allthebestpetcare.com and see where all of their 9 locations are around Western Washington. And I have a talk coming up on November 10th, Thursday night, at the Ballard store, which is right on Market Street. It's at 7:30 p.m., and it's called How to Get Your Dog to Do What You Ask. There you go.
Anything you ask? I mean, a lot of us would probably like it if they did the dishes or
cleaned up
around the house. But
depending on how much you want to put into training, I think you can teach your dog how to do pretty much anything,
all right,
especially finding that motivation. So really fun talk. I did a talk at their Redmond store a little over a week ago. I think that was last Sunday, 2 Sundays ago. Was a lot of fun, and there's some great benefits otherwise to being there. So I recommend you show up in addition to the wonderful talk. And that is Thursday, November 10th at their Ballard location, which is on Market Street in Ballard. And that starts at 7:30 p.m. So I was at a seminar in all about aggression, aggression in depth. It was a seminar with John Rogerson, who's a well-known animal behaviorist and trainer. He calls himself a trainer. And he's a British guy and just amazing. So if we've got time left today, Tim and Ruth are going to join me in a conversation about some of the main stuff I took away from that seminar. And I'm always thinking out for my...
That was kind of aggressive.
I blow your ears out there.
Yeah.
I'm always looking out for my fans. So I grabbed a book, a copy of his book, The Dog Vinci Code. And he's wonderful. He's got some really creative ideas. And I have a signed copy of that to give away today. So stay tuned to find out how you can win that copy. Okay, so we have in the booth, which is always a treat, Tim Percival and Ruth Nielsen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Julie.
Thanks for being here. And Ruth is a draft judge and trainer, and Tim is a man of many hats. He's the moderator for Seattle Draft Dogs. You can find them on Facebook, and they also have a Yahoo group. But Tim also was on several months ago, and he's got the website learnpetfirstaid.com, and we were talking about, in that show, pet first aid and disaster preparedness. So we're going to be talking about drafting and what is drafting. So, Ruth, will you tell us what drafting is as a sport? You know, what are the dogs doing?
Well, drafting started. It was a working dog on a farm, and dogs pulled carts to assist the farmers. And that was something for the Bernese Mountain Dog, which is one of the breeds that I have. The Swiss farmers use the dogs to pull a cart with milk or cheese to market or to do tasks around the farm. And that has developed into a sport for a number of the working breeds. The Bernese Mountain Dog Club of America has a test that is offered, and it's now open to all breeds of dogs. But the purpose of that test is to have the dog demonstrate in teamwork with the owner, maneuvering a cart and showing some of the skills that would have been required by a dog working on the farm. So the dog and the handler work in a ring that's set up by the judges, and they maneuver through obstacles, and the dog has to stand on command and wait while the owner loads and unloads the cart and move through narrow areas and circle and turn. And then the second part of the test, the dog has to pull a certain amount of weight on a half-mile course, and that's typically in a park, and it's designed to show the dog's stamina and fitness. But it's all about teamwork and control and maneuvering the cart and showing the skill of the dog working with its owner.
It's almost like a driving test.
Well, the driving test, yeah, exactly, driving a car. There actually is a style of karting that's called driving where people ride in the cart and direct the dog as a passenger. So there are some breeds that do that, or driving can also refer to working from behind the dog, so you're driving the dog ahead of you.
So that might be sort of a cart version of, like, sledding.
Well, it still is... It's really more a question of where the handler is in relationship to the dog. Mm-hmm. And it's for the tests that are offered for the working breeds, it's still more a control maneuvering as opposed to sledding, which
different movement.
But the sled dogs are going long and hard,
right,
as opposed to circling, turning,
yeah,
and making a lot of maneuvers on different terrain.
Yeah. Okay. So, and now you have a Bernese Mountain Dog and a Newfoundland.
Yes, I have two Bernese Mountain Dogs and a Newfoundland.
Yeah, and Tim has Greater Swiss Mountain Dogs.
Correct. I have two Greater Swiss Mountain Dogs.
All right. Now, these are all within the working group, if we're talking about the American Kennel Club. And I was looking at all of the different descriptions of the histories of the different breeds, and it seems like, you know, well, some of these breeds actually in their description were bred to do specifically this, and this is really what they were bred to do. And then a lot of them have a guarding background, and some of them even, depending on what they're guarding, oftentimes flocks of sheep.
And that'd be like the Great Pyrenees.
Yep. Anatolian Shepherd, Commodore, those guys. We're in the same group.
Right.
But... one thing that I noticed that I thought was interesting, and I think a great thing to promote when we're talking about breeding, is that throughout the description of the carting, what I found was that the dogs really have to, I think there's a part of it where they have to greet a person.
Yes.
And be friendly. So their part of their job description is not to guard the cart.
that's absolutely not to guard the car. In the Bernese Mountain Dog test, there is a specific exercise where the handler and the dog approach a person that has a load. The dog stops and has to wait while the handler takes the load, loads the cart. They continue on maneuvering, and then at another point, they stop. The dog has to wait. They give the load back, and the person pets the dog. And so the dog has to stay while being petted. So it's actually a combination of friendliness and control. The dog has to allow the person to pet them, but they can't on their own volition go up and start nuzzling this person.
Right. So it's, or jump up and then spill the cart over.
Exactly. Exactly.
So friendly, but not too enthusiastic.
Friendly, but on command from the owner, they have to stay. So a dog that decides, oh, I'm going to go say hi, and they don't listen to the owner and they go up and start nuzzling this friendly person, unfortunately, that's not a passing performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the same note, they also have to be able to ignore that one of the other distractions that are in that's in there is some sort of distraction. And it might be dogs that are nearby. So they have to make sure that they stay on task and they don't run over to the dog or the squirrel or whatever, pulling that cart.
Right, following
exactly.
all of the,
I've seen dogs try to chase the squirrel up the tree, even hitched to the cart. So focus is very important.
Don't want to lose the whole load with the dog going after a squirrel or something. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk more with Tim Percival, moderator for Seattle Draft Dogs, and Ruth Nielsen, who's a draft judge and trainer. You're listening to The Dog Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to NuPro Supplements, we cover the world of animals. This week, we'll do some vet stuff, and I'll share some recent Pluckner experiences. I'll have a My Boys Are Back update, plus it's a Martha and Robin Sunday. Mount Shasta Mystic, Robin Alexis will join me, and together we'll tune in to Animals in the News stories to figure out what's really going on and what the animals have to say. Hope you'll join us for Martha Norwalk's Animal World Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com or follow them on Facebook.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area, licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Radio with no added hormones or preservatives. All natural, alternative talk, 1150 AM.
I love my dog as much as I love you. But you may think my dog will always come through.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. The Dog Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. Have you ever seen cats drafting or carting?
I bet on YouTube there's a video of a cat doing just about anything.
I don't know. All right, so we're back with Ruth Nielsen, who is a draft judge and trainer, and Tim Percival, who is the moderator for Seattle Draft Dogs. They have a Facebook page and a Yahoo group. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So we're talking about drafting. Now, are drafting and carting the same thing, or are they a bit different?
I think most people use the terms interchangeably. I'd have a hard time saying what the difference is, so I'm not going to try.
All right. So we're talking about what it is and how it's, you know, historically, a lot of these working breeds, especially Bernese Mountain Dogs, Swiss Mountain Dogs, were, well, part of what they did for us as people was to carry and cart goods to market, like milk and cheese and stuff like that for the farmers. So we've taken that sort of original design and job description, and since most people, at least in the U.S. probably, although that you do say that it's still, dogs are still doing this in Europe.
In Europe, that's my understanding, yes.
Yeah. Well, most people with Bernese Mountain Dogs, et cetera, in the States probably aren't using them really to carry goods to market and stuff like that. So for those who are enthusiasts, we've developed this sport that you can actually let the dog, give the dog an outlet for this, which I always recommend. And have the dog do really what it was intended to do, which is drafting and carting. Now, we've been talking about the working group. And if you want to look up what dogs are all in the working group and the different groups, you can go to the AKC website, American Kennel Club. It's akc.org. So we've been talking about, Tim has Swissies, so Swiss Mountain Dog, Greater Swiss Mountain Dog. You've got Bernese Mountain Dogs, or two Bernese Mountain Dogs?
Two Bernese Mountain Dogs.
And a Newfoundland. So, you know, and then there's, when I was searching online and doing research about this, I found, you know, Great Pyrenees, Mastiffs, Leonbergers, Rottweilers, Newfies, St. Bernards, Dobies, a lot of these breeds that were the ones that came up, but any breed can do this. So if this is sort of speaking to you and you would love to, you know, try your dog out on this, if any breed group, and Ruth, you've seen some pretty interesting breeds actually compete.
Well, I have. The Bernese Mountain Dog Club of America offers a test. There isn't one available through the American Kennel Club, but different breed clubs offer a test. And the Bernese Mountain Dog Club test is now open to all breeds. And starting next year, the test will be open to mixed breeds that are registered with the American Kennel Club through their pet program. So if you have a dog that you think would enjoy doing this sport, it's open to anyone. The weight that the dog has to carry on the freight haul at the novice level is 20 pounds, but I have judged a Skipper Key. This is a 12 to 14-pound dog that pulled 20 pounds on the freight haul, and I've seen miniature poodles pull 20 pounds. So there's a place if your dog wants to do it, and I've seen pugs pulling little wagons just for fun. I haven't ever judged one in a test. I think the Skipper Key's probably the smallest dog I've judged, but I know there are small breeds that are very successful at it, and it's a fun sport to do that allows a lot of encouragement and very positive ongoing relationship while you're testing. You can talk to your dog throughout the test, and it's very rewarding in that way. It's not like some competitions where you cannot give your dog extra command or support. You can praise your dog throughout, and that's really encouraging for a lot of dogs.
Mm-hmm. And that's something, you know, one of the reasons why I encourage people to do stuff like this, whether it be carting or nose work or agility or whatever, depending on the breed group. You know, there's lots of breed specific things as well, like earth dog and lure coursing. And, you know, I think that these types of activities are such a great way for people to really bond with their dog in a way that is really from the dog's perspective. Like, if you ask the dog what would be a great way to bond, you know, they would probably say, well, I'd love to do something fun with you and work together.
And when you can make it fun for the dog, one of the things that's different in the drafting, and I compete with my dogs in all different sports, in the draft test, you actually are competing for a longer period of time than any other event that I'm aware of. So when you're on the maneuvering course, that may take about 15 minutes. When you're on the freight haul, it's half an hour. You're there for half a mile with other dogs. And so you have to work with your dog being tested and evaluated for a much longer period of time than you do in other sports. I mean, agility, you're there for a minute. Obedience, you might be there for 8 minutes, 9 minutes. This is a lot longer than that. So you need to have that relationship, but the fact that you can talk to your dog and praise your dog the whole time is what makes it really special. That's what I enjoy. When I'm judging, I love to see the relationship that people have with their dogs. Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
So what have you found? You've both worked with dogs and training dogs to do this. What have you found is the best way to motivate a dog to do this? Or maybe there's a few different ways depending on the dog.
Well, I think it just depends on the dog, of course. But, you know, one is just your attitude, just like any other thing. Just make sure you have a good attitude, and it's a fun thing, so don't get stressed about it.
Yeah.
You know, if you get stressed, the dog will get stressed. And to get started, you know, getting started and then continuing are two different, completely different things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just a good attitude, and you know, to get started, maybe food and toys, and to get them used to the pulling the cart.
So if somebody with any breed of dog or mixed breed. One, how to do this, you recommend going through Seattle Draft Dogs or through the Bernese Mountain Dog Club of Greater Seattle or either of them?
Well, for the people who are local, there's a Seattle club, or it's actually a larger area, but there's a Bernese Mountain Dog Club in the Seattle area that puts on a clinic that helps people get started. And the nice thing about that clinic is that you are working with people who are very familiar with the sport who can help you. This is a great sport to have some assistance, because getting your dog used to the cart, and especially if you've never done it before, having somebody help you go through the steps, you need to get your dog familiar with the cart before you can move on to any of the maneuvering stuff.
And so this is something that's put on through the Bernese Mountain Dog Club of Greater Seattle, but it's open to all breeds.
It's open to all breeds. There's a clinic that will be coming up next year. I think you can find out about it on the club's website, Bernese Mountain Dog Club of Greater Seattle, BMD. CGS.org, and it's open to everyone, but it's something you have to register for in advance, and there's usually a nominal cost, but you also have to have somebody to help you so that you can work through the various exercises of getting your dog accustomed to the cart.
Yeah.
There's several different things that it takes for a dog to pull a cart. It's not just pulling a cart. They have to get used to the shafts next to them. They have to get used to pulling something.
Right.
They have to get used to the noise, the harness.
Right.
Every dog has difficulties with different aspects of it. So they do it step by step at the clinic, so that we get used to it.
And I imagine if you just attach a cart to a dog that's never experienced it, they're going to be like, what is behind me?
I did that to my very first dog, and it was not a pleasant experience.
Learn that one the hard way, huh?
Exactly.
And it can also be really dangerous.
Right. Yeah. And you don't want to freak them out. I mean, the whole point is to do something fun and, you know. So, and so learning how to do that and to not just watch something on television and then try it yourself, but to actually go to some sort of clinic where there's people who are really familiar with this, who can coach you and also recognize what your dog needs, because I imagine someone who's a first timer won't necessarily even know what the dog needs.
If you want to find out more about the sport, there is a book that you can buy on Dogwise, and the book is called Carting with Your Dog. You can buy that through dogwise.com, and it's a very detailed approach to the sport, teaching your dog. It talks a lot about general dog training principles, but it would be worth looking at if you think the sport might be fun, but you don't know that much about it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And so again, Bernice Mountain Dog of Club of Greater Seattle. There's also Seattle Draft Dogs. So if you are local, you can go through those two avenues. If you are listening from another state, probably getting in touch with a local breed club, like the Bernice Mountain Dog Club, or one of those breed group or breed specific clubs would probably be a good place to find a local group that is, you know, where people are experienced.
I think the Bernice Mountain Dog Club of America has the most tests and is the most active in this sport. And if you're in another state, you can go to the Bernice Mountain Dog Club of America website, bmdca.org, and that lists draft tests that are available all over the country. And it would help you get in touch with Bernice Mountain Dog Clubs in other areas, just because these clubs are the ones that are very active in the sport.
Yeah. And again, this is where you would go even if you don't have a Bernice Mountain Dog, but you have another breed, or even sounds like next year, is it? You can, if you have a mixed breed?
Mixed breeds.
Yeah. So we're talking about referring you to the Bernice Mountain Dog Club, but that's if you have any breed of dog.
Exactly.
If you want to get into karting, it's a good place to go.
This is the club that puts on the most tests, but it is open to all breeds. Now, if you really want to get creative, Canadian clubs put on draft tests as well, and those are also open to all breeds through the Canadian Kennel Club. And and there are sometimes tests in Vancouver that are close for those of us in the Northwest.
All right.
And there are other clubs that do it. The Newfoundland Club here in Seattle, they do drafting quite a bit, and the Rottweilers. But like Ruth said, the Berner Club is by far probably the most active.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Ruth Nielsen, who's a draft judge and trainer, and Tim Percival with Seattle Draft Dogs. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
My dog wears a path on the same line, and lately I'm thinking I might take his advice.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Your dog has digestive upset.
You want answers.
Your dog has itchy skin.
You want answers.
Your dog has kidney disease.
You want answers.
Your dog is overweight.
You want answers. Go to AnswersPetFood.com to find the answers as to why you want to feed Answers Pet Food to your dog with these issues. Answers Pet Food. If you have questions, we give you answers.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Family-owned since 1975, Dr. Don's Automotive has been awarded Best Auto Repair from Seattle Magazine, Seattle Weekly, and Ballard News Tribune. Dr. Don's Automotive offers a free 35-point inspection. It's winterization time. Remember to have your coolant, tires, brakes, hoses, and belts checked to keep you and your dog safe this winter. Visit DrDonsAutomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
Hi, this is Mike Wrenn, host of Smart Investing, an investment show that's easy to listen to, informative, and entertaining. An investment show that's easy to listen to? Are you kidding? I've been in the investment industry for 21 years. I can tell you that the biggest reason that most people aren't successful in the investment world is their own behavior. Join us here on KKNW 1150. That's Smart Investing. I'm Mike Wrenn, your host, right here on Alternative Talk 1150 KKNW.
News, traffic, and weather? Now you can get your information fixed weekdays on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
My dog wears a path, and that's a good sign. 'Cause my dog wears a path on the same line.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And we're back talking about drafting, also known as carting with dogs. We have draft judge and trainer Ruth Nielsen with us today and moderator for Seattle Draft Dogs, Tim Percival. And you can find them on Facebook. And Seattle Draft Dogs also has a Yahoo group if you'd like to join that. So we're talking about the sport of carting and where dogs are pulling a cart and sort of recreating what they used to do. Some breeds of dogs were used to do back in the day and still in Europe and maybe in the U.S. somewhere, but actually carting goods to the market. So farmers, milk and cheese, for example, load up the cart. And even, it sounds like, send the dog. And in some cases, once the dog was that good, they would just go on their own. But mostly it sounds like they were accompanied.
Yeah, it's. I've certainly heard stories that the dog, once they got used to the route, they'd load them up and send them off to the market. And I know I take my dogs, we cart from my house to my office, and they know where they're going.
Do you sit in the cart?
You know, I have had kids sit in the cart.
Yeah.
But I do haul I haul things back from the market as opposed to taking things to the market.
Yeah.
So they go to the grocery store with us, and they wait outside with the cart, and we shop. Load the groceries
nice.
Up, and they pull it home.
Yeah. There was a sort of off-topic, but not really. There was a story about a golden retriever in Maine that developed her own job of her owner's. Oh, she lived on a golf course. I think her owners were the owners of the course or something, and she used to carry the golf cart keys. She was like the valet. She'd carry the golf cart keys back into the clubhouse for the people so that they could just continue to the parking lot and didn't have to go basically check their car in, cart.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I think
great.
That I can totally see
she
that.
She just did it on her own, too. I mean, I think one guy one day just kind of handed her the keys to see what she would do. And now you can't, unless she's tired, unless it's been a busy day and she's tired, you can't keep her. I mean, that's what she's there to do, and she loves it.
You reward the dog for something inadvertently or intentionally, and they're going to do it again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's part of what is so missing in, you know, I think to generalize in the human-dog relationship is having dogs actually doing something for us. I mean, we tend to think that all we need to do is just give them all the love in the world and they're going to be happy. And it's not the case, especially when, I mean, really with any dog, but especially with a dog that's really got a strong work ethic and need to work. I mean, they just, in working with training and behavior, I just see dogs that are going crazy. They're beside themselves because they don't ever have to do anything.
I get to take my dogs to work with me, and I feel very fortunate. But I see dogs that are left home all day, and I think, no wonder. They're bored. They're out of their minds. Mm-hmm. They want something to do.
Yeah,
they're bred to have a purpose. Yeah. You know, they were bred to work, and so
yeah,
I think it's important for them to do something.
And it's something for people to consider when they're looking at getting a dog. If they're going the pure breed route or even mixed breed, what is the dog mixed with? I mean, I have two Australian cattle dogs, and you know, it's another part-time job for us just to keep those dogs' energy needs met, both mental and physical, because they're supposed to be working all day, hard work on a farm, and that's really what they're designed to do. And they're higher drive herding breed, them as individuals, they're higher drive. So, you know, I think people get dogs and they think, you know, I think a husky is a great example because of the UW's beloved mascot and University of Washington Huskies and all that sort of stuff. And then especially college students, I'm going to get a husky. And it's like, well, this dog's really capable of running 80 miles in front of a sled. So are you going to be able to meet that? You know, an hour long leash walk is not even going to touch the tip of the iceberg for that one. So,
well, I certainly know when people talk to me about getting a dog and what kind of dog they want. And I ask them, how much time are you planning to spend with the dog and what are you going to do with the dog? And if they are super busy and they're not going to have a lot of time for the dog, boy, I
get
sure,
a cat.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's stuffed dogs, but I try to steer my friends away, especially from super active, high energy dogs. Mm-hmm. They want a job. They absolutely want a job.
And at the same time, if you get one of those dogs, you don't want to just automatically say, oh, well, it can go drafting, it can go herding, and expect them to do it right out of the gate.
Yeah.
You know, they have to work up to it and they need the training, so you're going to have to invest some time into it.
Yeah, that's a good point. On the flip side, if you're really wanting to, I mean, I know from my own experience with the herding, some of the dogs have a more of a desire to do it and more of a drive to do it, and other dogs are, yeah, you know. So if you're really wanting to do it, make sure that you're getting a dog that's up for it. But it sounds like, I mean, it's really about finding the motivation. So, and I think the best way to motivate a dog is through the relationship. With most dogs, you know, they're really motivated by that interaction, and that we don't really need to use, I think in this country we've gotten so food focused, and food can be certainly helpful as a way to mark a reward and kind of put punctuation on kind of the point that you're wanting to make to the dog. But it shouldn't be the primary or only motivator with anything. I mean, obedience training, anything. I think food can help. But when we just rely on it, the dogs really aren't working for us. They're just working for the food. And then if you don't have the food there, dog's like, well, where's the food?
Well, I think that was one of the things that I was alluding to when I talked about the amount of time that the dog has to work in a draft test. And when I am judging, I can see the dogs that don't really have the relationship or the understanding of their job, because 5 or 6 or 7 minutes into the competition, they kind of stop and they start looking at the owner, and you can pretend to have a treat and that might get you through the next 2 or 3 minutes. But boy, there's a point where if the dog really doesn't enjoy doing it and they're not motivated by the praise that you can give them, they're going to stop working.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a half an hour where that dog's going to be pulling a cart. And if they are relying on you to pop a cookie in their mouth in order to keep going, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's one of the things that was a common theme or a frequent theme in the seminar that I was in last weekend with John Rogerson. And this was in Olympia. And he's been in this field for 40 years, and he's a British guy, and he's just wonderful. He's got great, great perspectives and creative ideas. And so the whole seminar was focused on aggression, dog aggression in depth, both dog to dog and dog to human. And you know, one of the things that I bet most people, if I said, what would you think was one of the main things that he talked about? One of the points that he made over and over and over again in working with people with their dogs is the importance of having a relationship with the dog, the human, and that the best way to do that is to play. And that a lot of people, I think, either for some reason are told or think that they're not supposed to play with their dogs because they may be too focused on this whole dominance model and, oh, I got to be the dog, I got to be the pack leader, and, you know, and there's this sort of disconnect there. And that's not really, you know, dogs aren't wolves. You know, there's certainly some parallels, but it's not as dominance based as I think we tend to think. And really to play with toys. So just to clarify there, not necessarily wrestling with your dog's teeth on your skin, but really getting the dog into toys and playing with toys. And then when you're starting to work on behavioral issues, or you're trying to find that motivation, when you have that relationship with your dog, that really strong relationship, it just makes it so much easier, or possible at all, to work through issues even like aggression, because you can actually use that.
Well, I think one of the things that I've found, Julian, working with my dogs and other people that I train with, is that regardless of what the motivator is, whether it's a food or a toy or whatever, when you see it's really working is when the dog is turned on by you. And I find that to be the most incredibly rewarding thing in the world, because I may use those tools to build the relationship, but then the relationship is what turns the dog on. The dog is saying, hey, I want to work with you. What are we doing today?
Right.
You show me, because I want to be with you.
Yeah, and because what we're doing is fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's fun because they're with you.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about scent detection or cadaver dogs, for example, one of the questions, Trace Sargent was a woman that I interviewed. She's in Georgia. About cadaver dogs. And one of the questions I had, where I kind of figured I had a sense for the answer, but I didn't know for sure because I don't really know much about cadaver dogs. But it was like, does it take an emotional toll on the dogs to be finding dead, you know, people who are dead or remains? And she said no, because they just think they're looking for their toy, because they've just attached a scent, the scent of decomposing flesh, to their favorite toy. And that's the motivator for the dogs to look and look and look and look and look, is because they think that they're getting their toy and they find it and, oh, wonderful. And, you know, I think they're probably trained with the scent that's not recognizable as an actual body. And so, you know, having that fun be the primary motivator. And I've heard John's done some work with military dogs as well. And he said that, like, bomb detection or mine dogs, he said that they used to use shock collars with these dogs. They're not using them at all anymore, because they said that they've found that the dogs work much better when they're motivated with fun, with the relationship. So now it's something to, that was one of the main themes about that. And speaking of John Rogerson, I do have a book that I had him sign and that I'm going to give away. So stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break. But stay tuned to find out how you can have a chance to win that. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
To my dog on wheels, I tell my passions and woes. To my dog on wheels, I tell my secrets and more.
Do you know there is an insurance company that offers great rates, quality service, and cares about your furry companions? Progressive will help cover the cost of your vet bills if you and your pet are involved in an accident. Call the good guys at Eastside Insurance, who represent Progressive Insurance and other fine companies. Contact Tom or Chuck at e-z-insurance.com for a free quote, or call 877-817-4103. Eastside Insurance, where you and your pet can rest insured.
Let Hot Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Artist Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. You can even include yourself in the painting, and you're sure to love the end result. To find out more, visit hotportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net. Or call Jennifer at 206-661-4538.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog,
thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's Dog Behavior Training and Nutrition Specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Like what you hear? Be sure and support the sponsors who support your favorite programs on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are back talking about drafting, also known as carting, with your dog. We're talking with Ruth Nielsen, who's the draft judge and trainer, and Tim Percival, who's the moderator for Seattle Draft Dogs. You can find Seattle Draft Dogs on Facebook as well as their Yahoo group. And the best place to go, other than Seattle Draft Dogs, especially if you're local, to find out more about how you might be able to get your dog involved, regardless of breed, would be the Bernice Mountain Dog Club of Greater Seattle. And that's bmdcgs.org. So just the acronym for that. And I'll post these links on the Dog Talk Show website as well. And you can find us online at dogtalkshow.com. And we also have a Facebook fan page, which is a fun way to find out who's on that next week, to find out about if there's a giveaway. And so it's a really fun way to interact with me and the show and guests in between shows. So that's the Dog Talk Show Facebook fan page as well. So we were just talking about motivation, and during the break, Tim made a really great point that people think that it's love at first sight when they meet a dog, and that may be true to a degree, but that doesn't mean that there's a great working relationship built, and that's something that does take some time. Did I basically say your thought there?
Yeah, that's basically what I was saying.
Yeah. And a lot of people too, like, oh yeah, I have a great relationship with my dog. And well, if we asked your dog that, what would your dog say? And that kind of comes back to the play and the interaction. And, you know, do you work with your dog? Do you play with your dog? Is your dog a part of your life, a participating part of your life? And I think dogs just want to be a part of our lives because that's how they've really evolved with us. And why they've done so well was that we really needed them for a lot of different things. And now it's kind of all emotional for us anyway.
It's also another thing to think of is their age, you know, with maturity, they're going to be a different dog too.
Sure. I know that's had an impact on me as a human, maturity. So I have a book and a copy of John Rogerson's book, The Dog Vinci Code. That's autograph copy that I would like to give away to a lucky listener, but you don't have to call in to win it. I just want you to email me. So I will give people probably a week to email up until the next show, so Tuesday, and email me host@dogtalkshow.com. That's host@dogtalkshow.com. Email me and tell me that you would like that book. It's called The Dog Vinci Code, and it's by John Rogerson. I have an autograph copy to give away, and so I'll take all the emails and put them in a hat and pick one, so you don't have to be the first or the third. Just email me, and for those of you who listen to the podcasts after the fact, this will give you some time to get your email in, and then I will pick a winner and get that copy out to you. It's an autograph copy of The Dog Vinci Code by John Rogerson, and he is excellent. Now, Ruth has a wonderful story. I want to make sure that we have time for you to tell this about two of your dogs.
Well, this is actually, it's somewhat about carting, and it's really about relationship, but I had a Bernese Mountain Dog named Winter who was not... He was a little on the shy side. He was a very soft dog, and I worked very, very hard to do things with him because that built my relationship with him. He was not, he didn't take to carting as quickly as some of my other dogs, and I thought, well, should I keep doing this with him? And I thought, really, this is how I develop a relationship with my dogs, is to keep working with them. So we worked through it. He got his titles, and he did a great job. When he became an older dog, 9, 10 years old, he ended up with a disease that caused rear-end paralysis, and I actually put him on wheels, and I thought, boy, I'm really glad I taught this dog to cart because it totally saved his life. He spent the last 2.5 years of his life on wheels, and he enjoyed it. He went hiking and backpacking and herding, did all of the things that he had done with wheels. Second part of the story is as he got more debilitated, he had to be on 4 wheels and we needed to pull him. And then I thought, well, I've got another dog, Tonka, who's also a carting dog. I'm going to hitch Tonka to Winter. So Tonka pulled Winter, and for the last 6 months of Winter's life, Tonka pulled him every day. We'd go for walks, 1/2 mile or more, and these two dogs with tails wagging, both smiling, Winter on wheels, Tonka pulling him, and it was a relationship for all three of us, and it was a really special thing for me, and I thought, this is, I think, a unique use of carting, but it was a real highlight of my relationship with my dogs.
What an easy transition for Winter, who was used to carting, and then to have to sort of cart his hind end, his own hind end around. He was like, oh, okay, this is just kind of an adjustment.
He got it.
Yeah.
And then for my other dog to pull him, that I thought, I wonder if he'd do it. And boy, they both just kind of lit up. And I thought, this is hysterical. I don't know of anybody else who's done it, but one dog pulled the other dog, and it was pretty wonderful.
Yeah. And I just love the idea of just because it would be cute and probably fun for them too, but little dogs, because what came to mind for that was when we're talking about dogs having to be on wheels when they are paralyzed, as dachshunds and corgis and some of those long-backed breeds that are really prone to having back problems. What a great thing to just for fun when they're younger and able to just teach them carting. And then if they do get to the place where they need to be on wheels, it'll be like, oh, no problem. All right, I can just cart around my hind end now.
And I think part of it is just how adaptable dogs are. Mm-hmm. We can give them a good quality of life. There's a lot of ways that we can enhance their lives.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's just so much out there. And this Seattle area, you know, Western Washington, or even probably the Northwest, we're so dog crazy out here. And you can find anything locally. Drafting, carting, earth dog lure coursing, herding, dock dogs, whatever. You know, it's all here. So agility, nose work, you can keep going. And there is just stuff, actually, you don't have to drive very far to do it. And that's such a gift of living out here as a dog enthusiast, is that it's like, take your pick. What kind of dog do you have? What does your dog like to do? Okay, well, go do that with your dog. And you'll notice such a huge difference in your dog's experience of life. You know, one of the things that John Rogerson said this weekend, again, the seminar was about aggression, but one of the things that he said is, you know, on a daily basis, how many things does your dog have to look forward to? You know, ask yourself that question. Oh, gosh, not much. If that's the answer, then, and you're having behavioral trouble, you know, that would be one of the first places to start would be, you know, does your dog have an outlet for its energy? Whatever that might look like, whatever that fit might be for you and your dog and even little dogs. So, definitely encourage you to kind of look at that and really play with your dog. One of the things, too, that he said is with shelter dogs, when volunteers come and take them for walks, he said, I think it would also be a great program to have people go and actually sit in the runs with the dogs that could handle it and play with them or read them a book or, massage them and have that interaction, not just a disconnected walk, So I want to make some announcements again. If you want to win a free copy of John Rogerson's book, The Dog Vinci Code, I have an autographed copy to give away. You just have to email me, host@dogtalkshow.com. Tell me that you'd like the book, and then I will draw randomly an emailed address. And if you win, I'll reply to you. So that's host@dogtalkshow.com. You can also find us on Facebook. If you've missed any part of this interview or would like to listen to any of our 150 or so interviews, you can go to the website, dogtalkshow.com, podcast page, and they're all there. And you can just play from your computer. Just make sure you have sound. You can also go to iTunes and download us for free as a free audio podcast. Just search for The Dog Talk Show, and then you can take us with you on your MP3 player or iPod. Also, too, November 10th, Thursday, I'm doing a free talk at All the Best Pet Care, How to Get Your Dog to Do What You Ask. I would love to see you there. There's lots of perks to being there in addition to the talk, so I encourage you to show up. That's at the Ballard Store, 7:30 p.m., Thursday, November 10th, All the Best Pet Care, and you can find them online, allthebestpetcare.com. Thank you so much, Ruth and Tim, for being here. It was a pleasure talking to you about drafting and carting. And thanks for listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
Thanks.
Thank you.